This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed.
On this episode of The Live Feed, we visit with a musician who has been performing in front of audiences since grade school and who has also shared his talent at international music festivals. This individual, who has a doctorate in philosophy, shares the stage regularly with Al Stewart and is known as a psychic sideman to many fellow musicians. Today we learn how his life in music progressed, how his songwriting process works, and much more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed. This is Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed. And today I have a musician who's coming to town, loves the Midwest, wants to prove it with a couple of shows. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dave Nachmanoff, singer-songwriter from Davis, California, and looking forward to coming back to Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Now, you've stayed in the area before for a while, correct?
Yes. I was in Chatfield about a year ago and had a wonderful night there and really enjoyed it and was thrilled that they brought me back. So
you've kind of had a songwriting or a performing career since, you know, elementary school years, correct?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I'd call it a career when I was in school, but I've been doing it since I was 8 or 9 years old and professionally since 1997, but I've really been playing and writing and singing all my life.
Which musical instrument did you first gravitate to? Because I know you play a couple different ones, if you want to fill us in.
Well, like a lot of people, I started out on piano, but I never was really as excited about that as I was about guitar. And I took guitar up about a year and a half after I started on piano. And then for a while, I sort of left the piano behind it and didn't really play and kind of picked it up again later. And just started adding various stringed instruments as I was growing up, with violin lessons and then viola. Picked up a mandolin somewhere along the way, and some banjo, and played bass in a jazz group in high school. I would keep adding instruments as I went along. But guitar has really always kind of been my favorite thing to play.
What did you do to take yourself further?
Well, it was a combination of just a whole lot of time playing in bands from about the age of 12 to more formal training. I was lucky enough to have jazz piano lessons and theory lessons when I was in high school. I studied violin and viola at school, took private lessons as well. And then when I was in college, I did a concentration in music theory and composition and ear training. So, you know, a fair bit of formal training combined with, you know, just taking every opportunity I could get to play with different people. Always try and play with people better than myself so that I would, you know, try and learn and grow.
Forget first night I came with the lights like a million stars from the plane. My hopes and ambitions much higher than we've been flying. With the babble of voices and colors and sounds, I called for a taxi to take me downtown. The jumble of feelings that came stealing over my mind. Wondering, wishing, and fishing to see what I'd find. City of angels, where the seraphim speak in a thousand tongues. City of angels, with your light so, so bright, and I'm saying goodbye, goodbye now. The city of angels. And others, I'd followed a dream, and I quickly discovered things are what they seem. I tilted the usual windmills, and I took a few scars. In that fairyland phantasmagorical swirl, snake oil dream spinners and beautiful girls, and the whiskey-throat nights I spent singing in street corner bars. Losing again and again with each turn of the cards. In the city of angels, where the seraphim speak in a thousand tongues.
city of angels, with your lights oh so bright, and I'm saying goodbye, bye now, the city of angels. Traffic rolls by, out on Sunset, the Hollywood night comes to life. This bottle beside me is as empty as a Montana sky. Stars out of focus look just like the lights. Kaleidoscope spinning and shining so bright. I feel my soul lift and the tears they start filling my eyes. Angels lifting me up and I'm waving goodbye.
City of angels,
where the seraphim speak in a thousand tones.
City of angels,
your light's oh so bright, and I'm saying goodbye, goodbye now, to my city of angels. To my city of angels.
You've been listening to the musical stylings of Dave Nachmanoff. We now return to our interview. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed.
Now, songwriting is a whole different process than just practicing a song. So what do you do to help yourself create?
Well, that also goes back quite a long way. I've been writing songs probably since I was about 8 or 9, and there's no one way to do it. In fact, I'm in the process now of writing a book that should be published sometime next year, which will be about songwriting for guitarists. So in the book, one of the things that I emphasize is there's lots of different kinds of songs and lots of different ways to approach it. My own process usually involves with coming up with some sort of an idea or lyrics first. For some reason, I am usually able to find a melody for almost anything, so that doesn't create as much of a problem for me as coming up with lyrics that I like. So for me, usually if I can get a lyrical framework together, I'll often write an outline, what the song is going to be about and kind of what the shape of the song is going to be. And then I'll get a lyric roughed out. And usually while I'm doing that, I've got some kind of melody going in my head. It's not always the melody that the song will wind up with, but that just kind of helps me to keep the meter and the rhymes and everything in the proper place. And then I'll add a melody, and then I'll usually sometime later sit down at a guitar or piano or something and work out chords to harmonize it as kind of the last piece of the puzzle. But that's just my process. I mean, I work with Al Stewart, who's one of my favorite songwriters, and he's completely the opposite. He'll sit down at the piano or something, and he's not primarily a pianist, he's mostly a guitarist, but he'll often write at the piano, and he'll make a chord sequence and basically start, he's so good with words, he'll just start improvising lyrics and make a melody up using these improvised lyrics. And then he'll record that in some way, or just on a cassette or something, so you can remember how it goes. And then later he'll write 4 or 5 different sets of lyrics and rewrite lyrics. So it's almost exactly the opposite of what I do.
Oh.
Which is funny. We've co-written together a couple times, but it's not easy because our processes are totally diametrically opposed.
Now, are you the type of person that can write at any time, or do you have to, like, carve that out for yourself?
Yes and yes. I suppose I should put it this way. My songs fall into 2 or 3 different categories. There's the songs that I've recorded on my albums that are just kind of my songs. And those often are written just because I'm inspired by a particular topic or something that happened, something I've read about, something in my own life, something I've heard about somewhere. Those songs are harder to sort of force. Can't necessarily just sit down and crank them out. They sort of come when they come. On the other hand, I also teach a lot of songwriting workshops, and I'm going to be really looking forward to doing some workshops at a school in Chatfield as part of this trip, and done a lot of songwriting workshops in schools. And so in those situations, it's a group project. Usually I'm writing with a class, students, and we have maybe, you know, an hour and a half to come up with a song. So there's a deadline. And those songs, some of which are amazing songs, but they kind of have to be written in a very short time, and they have to be written when I'm there. There isn't, you know, there's not a lot of flexibility. You can't wait for inspiration. So I can do that. The other third category of songs that I write are custom songs, which are what the name implies. Somebody that has a birthday or an anniversary,
right,
or something like that. And those sometimes wind up being written on a very short timeline. I mean, not usually, but every now and again, somebody will say, you know, my friend's anniversary is going to be next week, and we want to present them with this song. And so I've got to write and record and produce the whole thing in 3 days or something. So when I have to, I can usually buckle down and kind of write to a deadline. But like I said, there's sort of the three different categories of songs.
Oh, it's good to be a stranger in a strange land. Like a person incognito or a masked man. Like an actor in a play, who shall I be today? It's good to be a stranger in a strange land. Oh, it's fine to be unknown and all alone here, with no fixed address, no fax, no telephone here. Like Descartes in Amsterdam, or a robber on the lam. It's fine to be unknown and all alone here. But you can call me a tramp or a vagabond. But I don't care, that's the life that I choose. You can call me a scamp or a layabout. I've got nothing that I own, and so I've got nothing I can lose. Oh, it's nice to just blend in and be unnoticed. With no map to show me where the proper road is. With the sky above my head and a park bench for my bed. It's nice to just blend in and be unnoticed. You can call me a tramp or a vagabond. I don't care, that's the life that I choose. You can call me a scamp or a layabout. I've got nothing that I own, and so I've got nothing I can lose. It's rum to have no moorings and no duties, just to walk the world in search of truth and beauty. Serendipity's my friend, and I manage in the end. It's rum to have no moorings and no duties. You can call me a tramp or a vagabond. I don't care, that's the life that I choose. You can call me a scamp or a layabout. I've got nothing that I own, and so I've got nothing I can lose. I've got nothing I can lose. I've got nothing I can lose.
We now return to my interview with Dave Nachmanoff. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed.
You said you're recording yourself, so do you have your own at-home studio?
I do. I have a small project studio at home, which is, I mean, these days very few musicians don't. It's really almost become a necessary tool to be a professional musician these days. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but, you know, you've got to have some way to record yourself. My own albums have mostly been done in other studios, usually with an outside producer / engineer. I mean, my studio is quite good, and I've gotten a lot better at using it over 10 years or so that I've had it, but I'm primarily a musician, not a recording engineer and producer. I also like the objectivity of an outside producer who can listen to my music and kind of see it from a different perspective and help to draw something out of me that I can't get myself. So my own album is generally not recorded in my own studio.
You refer to yourself as a psychic musician on your webpage. Can you kind of fill us in on what that means?
Well, actually, I didn't come up with that. There was a friend of mine who referred to me as the psychic side man. And the reason for that is that I, probably because of all those years of ear training in theory, I'm pretty comfortable sitting in with people that I've never heard and playing songs that I've never heard before. Just kind of intuiting where the song is going to go and being able to accompany them. So one of the things that I used to do, I used to play a lot more folk festivals than I do these days, mostly because I've been pretty busy touring with Al Stewart, and that hasn't left a lot of time in the schedule for going to folk festivals. But a lot of times at festivals, people would sort of find me and drag me up on stage with them and say, oh, you know, I'm doing a set in 5 minutes. Can you come play guitar for me? And this would be somebody I've never met sometimes, and certainly never heard the music. And, you know, I would just jump up there on stage and you know, maybe listen to the first verse of the song or sort of get the idea in my head of what they're about and jump in and start playing. And every now and again, there'd be a little mistake here and there, but mostly I could kind of figure it out on the fly. And so some of the other musicians started calling me the psychic side man because, yeah, seemed like I was psychic or something, knowing what was coming up next.
Well, the ear training really pays off with that, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not really magic. If you know enough theory and ear training, unless somebody's writing stuff that's really out, really outside and strange. I mean, I couldn't do that with, like, bebop jazz or something. I can do it within the genres that I'm pretty comfortable with. It is one of the things that I enjoy doing. And actually, in the years that I've been touring with Al Stewart, one of the fun things about working with him as a duo is that he's quite spontaneous. And sometimes he'll write a song in the afternoon, and that evening, halfway through the show, he'll just decide he wants to play it. And he'll tell the audience he's about to play something he just wrote in the afternoon. I don't know anything about it, but he trusts me and knows that if he just launches into it, I'll go with it and it'll be okay.
That's a good trusting relationship that you two have then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was a huge fan of his music from about the age of 13. And so even from the first time that I auditioned for him, he was sort of surprised that I knew his catalog as much as I did. And we sort of joked that between the two of us, we probably know about 2/3 of the songs that he's written. He knows some better than I do. I know probably some better than he does. But mostly we can figure them out. So we're pretty comfortable when people shout out requests and things, just giving it a try, even if it's something we've never played together or that he hasn't played in 20 years.
So you guys have had a long working relationship then, too. So that helps as
yeah.
well. Now, you've done multiple different types of festivals. You touched a little bit about that, but some of them are international even.
Yeah, we got to play, I played with Al at the Glastonbury Festival in England for their 40th anniversary, which was very exciting. So it's kind of the Woodstock of England, except unlike Woodstock, it's kept going every year since it was founded. And we played a couple of Canadian folk festivals, like the Edmonton Festival. That was really fun. Folk festivals are kind of a big deal in Canada. I'd like to do more of that in the future.
Of my horizon, from the corner of my eye, I caught myself off guard, like a Harlequin's romance.
with such tender expectations, getting past my sleeping sentry, and it couldn't have been so hard. But this is not what I expected. Oh, this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. Oh. Oh, there must be a hidden source, but you won't know until you get there. When the word has been revealed and you've peeled away a layer, oh, it's under every stone in this desert's painted canvas, like a wellspring of love, or a suddenly answered prayer. But this is not what I expected. Oh, this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. And it's Custer's last one night stand. It's raining hard to beat the band. You hold a rainbow in your hand, and I can only wonder, just staring wild wonder, listening in the silence, counting seconds till the thunder.
I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed. We now return to my interview with Dave Nachmanoff.
What have been some of the biggest learning moments you've had throughout your career?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know. They continue all the time. you know, I suppose, depends on what you want to describe as a learning moment.
Sometimes it's like turning a bad situation into a good situation, or maybe it's a turning point in your career.
Yeah. There have been a lot of turning points. And there certainly have been times where I've had turned bad situations into good ones. I mean, I guess as far as turning points, an example would be the way that I wound up playing with Al Stewart was I had pretended to know his guitar player, Peter White, when I went to see him for the very first time at the Royal Albert Hall back in about the mid-'80s. And Peter was very nice and didn't have me thrown out, even though he didn't actually know who I was. And I told him, I said, I was 19 at the time, I said, you know, giving you a sub, I could fill in for you. I know all your parts. He was very cool about it. And he just laughed. And some years later, I saw him in San Francisco, and he remembered me from that whole incident. And he said, sometimes you just have to be bold. And at that moment, I said, well, if you could sit down and jam with me for a minute, it would make my day. And he agreed. He said, okay, why not? So we pulled out the guitars and sat down and played. And I got a call 4 days later inviting me to come down and audition for Al to be Peter's replacement at Peter's recommendation. So that was definitely a turning point. I didn't actually get the job, by the way.
Oh.
So that was a learning experience. I was their second choice. Somebody else got the job initially, which actually worked out pretty well for all concerned, because I was just starting to work on my own first album, which I probably wouldn't have finished had I gotten the job playing with Al right away. And I was in the middle of trying to finish a PhD in philosophy. Probably would never have finished if I'd gotten the job right away. But I stuck it out, finished graduate school, retired from academia to go back to music, you know, released my first album and started touring as a singer-songwriter myself. And over time, built a relationship with Al, really more friends than his fellow singer-songwriters. And then eventually when the guitar position kind of came open, I was able to work my way back into that. But it's always been cool because Al's been very generous about letting me open the shows and share my own music with his audiences, which has been a huge thing for me. It's been wonderful.
Now, you have your degree in philosophy. Do you use that with your music writing at all? Or?
Yeah, you know, I think when you're a singer-songwriter, everything that you've experienced filters into your songs. It doesn't mean you always write about yourself. And in fact, I try mostly not to write about myself too much because, you know, I don't think I'm all that interesting compared to anybody else. And, you know, there's a lot of other things to write about in the world. But, you know, whatever experiences you've had are going to filter into what you write. It's like being a novelist or anything else. So I think the fact that I spent, you know, probably too many years studying philosophy academically probably gives me a little bit of a different perspective on things than people who didn't do that. And that hopefully brings an interesting dimension to the song.
Excellent. Now, let's tell the listeners where you're going to be at this week.
Okay. On the 14th, I'll be in Spring Grove, Minnesota. On the 15th, I'll be in Chatfield. And then on the 16th, I will be in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Excellent. And if people want to find out information about how they can attend and see you perform, where should they go?
The best thing to do is to go to my website, which is davenach.com, DaveNach. Looks like Dave Natch, but it's Dave Knack, like Dave Nachmanoff, but it's DaveNach.com. And there's a calendar page there. That will have updates because it looks like even at this point we're still adding maybe a couple of shows in another part of Minnesota in Fergus Falls the following week. So,
okay.
You know, watch this space, as they say. I also have a Facebook site, which you can find from the main website. And there'll be probably some show information on that as well.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing you hopefully at one of the shows.
Excellent.
There's a daisy chain of headlights on the road. They shimmer in the rain. And somewhere in amongst them, she's alone. She's driving off again. I remember her on ferries, in galleries and bars, eating maraschino cherries in the seats of open cars. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home tonight. Never have to ask her how she feels. She's always so direct. I never made you promises, she says. So what did you expect? Going to our closet, I came on our old love. It was hiding there in boxes of fading photographs. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home tonight. while the townspeople
people gossip in the street. And the local impresario is hiding while the bankers take the heat. And the women tell each other about hiccups in their lives. Sometimes life is like a lover who never quite arrives. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home tonight. Oh, Sheila won't be coming home. Sheila won't be coming home. Now Sheila won't be coming home tonight. Not tonight. Not tonight.
Thanks again to Dave Nachmanoff for visiting with us on the live feed. More information on Dave and his performance dates can be found at www.davenach.com and by searching for Dave Nachmanoff on Facebook. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to the live feed.
Thanks for listening to the live feed. The live feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.